I remember joining Spotify and just being wowed by how much information we had about what was happening within platform. Because where I was working previously, and I thought we had a pretty great platform engineering team, but it was certainly the case that as a product manager, I never had the data that I wanted or needed to feel comfortable making a lot of decisions about what we should be working on and what we should be prioritizing. So that was something I was very excited about coming here, was just the amount of data that I could look at to inform my decision-making within platform. I think it's pretty unique, actually, to our business, which is great.
Welcome to Nerd Out at Spotify, where we bring you behind the curtain of the world's most popular audio streaming subscription service. Machine learning, open source, clouds, tabs versus spaces. We'll talk to Spotify engineers about interesting tech issues, big and small.
I'm Dave Zolotowski, principal engineer at Spotify. And today, we're talking about measuring developer productivity. How do we know whether Spotify's development teams are happy, or if there's something in the development process that is constantly frustrating them or slowing them down? It's a topic a lot of companies are talking about these days, and there are a lot of productivity metrics out there, maybe too many. With so many popular frameworks like Dora and Space, it's hard to know which metrics are worth paying attention to and which aren't. Today, I'm joined by Kyle Butner, a product manager on our insights team, to discuss Spotify's journey in measuring developer productivity. From how we evaluate the different frameworks, to what kind of data we collect, to the role Backstage plays in unifying our development practices. And we have to do that all while maintaining the trust of our developers. And then, what do we actually do with the data we've collected? Can metrics really tell us about where our developers get frustrated or lose a lot of time? Can they really tell us how we can help them feel happier and more productive? I know, it's a lot of questions. Let's see if Kyle can help us with some answers. But before we begin, if you want to learn even more about developer productivity at Spotify, register for our Backstage Roadmap webinar on April 30th at backstage.spotify.com. We'll tell you about our Insights plugin for Backstage and a lot more. All right, let's go talk to Kyle. Welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Kind of what do you do at Spotify? How long have you been at Spotify?
Yeah, sure. My name's Kyle. I am a product manager on a team here called Platform Insights. I've been here for about coming up on 2 years, and my team really has a pretty broad scope. We really want to make sure that everybody in platform and R&D has data and metrics and insights that they can use to make sure that Spotify is fast, efficient, and great at product development.
Sounds good. I guess before we dive into all of that stuff, tell me a little bit about how you got into this role.
My background has always been in tech, and I've jumped around all the different functions. So everything from sales to product to engineering. I got into Spotify by way of platform engineering and working in that space. So I started off as an engineer and really got to know what it's like to do development and how fun and difficult it can be. And the place I was working at the time, it was just a small startup, started growing. And eventually we had enough engineers that we needed a product manager. And so that's how I fell into product, but always stayed within the engineering space. My role prior to working in Spotify was sort of working for a scale-up company, also doing platform product management. And I remember being there when Backstage was released to the world and being really impressed and inspired by what Spotify had been doing, treating engineers like users, creating an amazing experience for them to do their work. So Backstage and really everything that Spotify was saying at the time really inspired me as a product person working in the platform space. And I think from there, I was just always really wanted to come see what it was like actually at Spotify, really wanting to be a part of it. And then here I am.
Before we keep going, I want to dig into a couple of the things you said. You talked a lot about platform engineering. What is platform engineering? Why is it cool? Why is it even a newish thing?
Engineers in an ideal world don't have to mess around with work to do work. And so platform engineering is all about making sure that engineers can focus on interesting creative problems, not how do they get their code into a production environment. Platform teams try and extract all of that and take that away from engineers so that they can focus on interesting problems. It's all about sort of automation, standardization, making it easy to do the right thing. All these kinds of ideas are embedded into it. So
then one quick thing I wanted to pick on, do we focus on other roles within R&D or other places, or is it really like platform engineering is building out tools for engineers to be able to do their jobs, I don't know, better, faster, easier?
That's a really great question. And I think it's one that Spotify has, I don't know, I like our culture around it. product development and making tech is not just something that engineers do. There are a load of disciplines involved and they're all interrelated and everybody plays an important role. So engineers are obviously a huge part of that, but we've also got data scientists, designers, product managers, loads of disciplines who help each other out. I think the reason that we often talk about engineering specifically is just because they make up the majority of the people within R&D, certainly within Spotify. Yep. And a lot of the work that we do is about enabling them. But absolutely, it's a multidisciplinary activity that involves everybody. And, you know, sometimes helping product managers do their job better is going to also help engineers do their job better.
So then let's get into a little bit. You talked about what you do is you provide or you ensure that we have data, metrics, and insights to know that we're providing the right things. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what sort of data, what sort of metrics, what kind of insights? What is it really that your team does to provide platform and platform engineers with all these tools?
So my team, Platform Insights, came into existence 5 or so years ago, just with a couple of interested people, scrappy people who were like, hey, we're here in Platform making all these tools for developers and for our R&D community, but we don't have a whole lot of data and metrics to guide us. And you can look at our more consumer-facing products and features. They have loads of data about how people are using the Spotify app, and they use that to inform the product direction and the things that they build and the things that they do and whether or not those things are successful. So a few people just had the idea, hey, we should be in Platform similarly data-driven as our feature teams are. So they just started by consolidating a couple of key data sets. Some of these data sets were like, who are the people using our internal platform? So we've got a kind of data set of our platform users. We collected data about code changes and like basically our GitHub data. They started collecting sort of snapshots of the code that we were writing and kind of what lifecycle that code was going through. And that's really how it started, was just like building up these data sets. Once you've got those data sets, then we started sticking some data scientists on it to look at them, and they'd start to produce reports about what does product development look like within Spotify. So data sets, reports became a big thing. We started creating metrics. At the time, like door metrics were a starting point for us, right? Let's look at our deployment frequency, those sorts of things. So this is how we started as a team of maybe 2-3 people. And now we've got a huge insights function within the Platform team, which is maybe 50 or so people. We've got engineers, we've got data scientists, user researchers, and product managers as well, all kind of creating a portfolio of like insights solutions. So to answer your original question, what is it that we do and create? If I put it very simply, we have loads of data sets about what is happening within Platform. We have loads of metrics that anybody within Platform can use to understand how the platform is being used, how our tools are being used.
I think you mentioned DORA somewhere along the way. Can you give me a quick kind of, what is it?
Yeah. So DORA stands for DevOps Research and Assessment. It's a set of metrics that are pretty commonly used nowadays to measure software delivery. Sometimes they get conflated with like productivity metrics of software development, but they come from this study that Nicole Forsgren wrote. It's a great book on just what do elite software development teams, what do they look like? And there were 4 metrics that came out of that as, hey, these are indicators of maturity within software delivery practices. So these are fundamental metrics when it comes to measuring software delivery performance. And I think they're really great starting points. And they're some of the metrics that we track.
I gotcha. So is that like kind of the closest thing we have to an industry standard on the types of metrics that we should be collecting? Is that kind of how to look at it?
Yeah, I would say DORA metrics are widely agreed within industry that these are like good metrics to look at, but they are only 4 metrics and there are loads more that you should look at as well.
So they're like competing, I don't know, I want to say standards, but I guess it's not like it's a standard. I don't know what to call.
Yeah.
They're like competing clusters of metrics or whatever you'd call them.
It's really interesting. So like I said, our team started maybe 5-6 years ago when there wasn't a whole lot of thinking in this space around how do you measure productivity within software development. Nowadays, there's a lot of thought leadership and thinking and frameworks that you can use to measure productivity within software development. So DORA is a good starting point. Space is another one that comes from some of the same thinkers here. And yeah, so there's loads of frameworks like this.
So tell me about Space since you just said it offhand, but it sounds important.
Yeah, so Space came after the DORA metrics, and I think it was a response to people using DORA metrics as productivity metrics themselves, but the creators of the DORA metrics suggested that they're not great productivity metrics. Actually, you need to look at a wide range of metrics to get signal about a product development team's productivity. And so the Space framework expands on the door metrics to include lots of other metrics, including things like satisfaction of your developers with their experience. So yeah, Space is more of a productivity framework for measuring productivity within software development and includes a lot more metrics than the four door metrics.
So then you said satisfaction. So it's not so much productivity from the standpoint of, you know, performance. It's productivity from the standpoint of being able to be as effective as possible. Like kind of how do we define productivity metrics?
It gets a bit tricky here. Like, I think what you see in these frameworks is that actually it's very hard to pin down what productivity is. Like, on the one hand, you can like very crudely define it as the amount of output over what it took you to get that output. What these frameworks suggest is that actually it's a lot easier to get signals around productivity than it is to measure productivity itself. And sometimes that's more important. So things like Space suggest, hey, track all these things and you'll have a pretty good signal of how quickly you're shipping software.
The thing that I think I heard, which maybe isn't what you meant, but like it's very hard to get an absolute read, like this is how productive we are. Yeah. But it's not too difficult to get a feel for your kind of relative changes. So you can see, I don't know, quarter to quarter, we seem to be getting better or we seem to be getting worse. But you don't necessarily know, like, on an absolute scale, we're great or we're better than some other company or whatever. Is that the wrong read from what you said?
No, I think that's fair. And that is very much like a lot of how we do our productivity measurement in Spotify. I'll put it this way. We very often get asked by leadership, hey, can you give us the one productivity metric that we need to care about? I think it's a fair question, right? Like, especially if you look at like the business side, Spotify has very clearly defined metrics that the business cares about, right? Metrics like average revenue per user, monthly active users. These are all very well-defined, industry standard, common metrics that business expects to track. So we often get asked like, hey, give us the equivalent of monthly active users, but for productivity. And I think this is like pretty widely agreed. Any developer productivity podcast you listen to will say, hey, there is no one metric that you can track. You need a collection of metrics. And I think that's what Space suggests. It's very much like our approach within Spotify. We look at a wide range of signals and metrics. We don't try and reduce productivity down to too few things. We just try and paint a picture of the world with some numbers and metrics and give context around those as well.
Is there some collection of metrics that you and your team have put together as maybe not the one MAU, but there's Dora and there's Space, and it doesn't sound to me like you've 100% bought in, like, I don't know, the answer to everything is Dora or the answer to everything is Space. So it seems like you have some, I don't know, collection of things. Maybe it's a little bit of Dora and a little bit of Space, or maybe it's like the Kyle secret metric collection, whatever it is. Where have we landed as far as what we think is important, even if we don't have one metric to rule them all?
Yes. Okay. That's exactly right. We take a lot of inspiration from the frameworks and the thought leadership that we're seeing, but we don't adhere to any particular framework. We have our own kind of Spotify brand. Internally, we call these the key R&D metrics, and they're a collection of metrics that we have spent quite a bit of time with leadership teams and with platform teams aligning on what these are. But they are, I think they're around 9 or 10 metrics that are the most important things. And they include a mixture of things that are like more obviously productivity or speed related metrics. So one of those metrics is our deployment frequency metric. How often are we shipping software? But we also include metrics like tech health, right? One of our key metrics is around tech debt. Do our engineers think that we are incurring and paying down tech debt in the right amount? Golden technology adoption is one of our key R&D metrics. Golden technology is a concept we have of like the agreed ways of developing software. And so we track how much of our components adhere to those standards. So yeah, they probably don't sound sometimes like productivity metrics. And this is why we call them the key R&D metrics. It's like, how are we doing as an org within R&D?
Yep. No, that's really interesting because that was the thing that jumped out at me. Like, deployment frequency is basically just a number that you can get from whatever your platform systems somehow without doing anything. And then a bunch of the satisfaction or tech health things seem like they're completely open-ended, like people's opinion. I view that almost like a text box rather than a metric.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff is somewhere in between. I don't know, golden technology is a combination of state of system you can get from it as a number and like the definition of golden technology or the state of the world around that technology. So it's really interesting how much goes into just those three examples.
Yeah. And you've reminded me of the easiest one to say it's a productivity metric. Self-reported productivity. Once a quarter, we ask our engineers, on a scale of 1 to 5, how productive do you feel? I've shared this in a couple of groups with other platform PMs and working in different companies, I think they're often surprised to hear that that would be a main metric for us, because it sounds a bit crude and not very useful. Like, how can you trust a metric where people are just self-reporting, hey, I feel productive or I don't? It's certainly not a foolproof metric, but actually research has shown that it's good enough in a lot of cases. And when you think of the alternatives, which is like, oh, we could go and build XYZ metric and instrument XYZ tools and systems, and how expensive and long that would take to get for like how much extra benefit, then actually self-reported productivity is a pretty good one. So we really do believe in the value of data that just comes from our engineers and us asking them questions.
That's a really cool metric, because I think it's almost like NPS of being a developer at Spotify.
Exactly right, yeah.
And there's so much to that. And so to your point, if it's bad, it maybe it's hard to know exactly how to fix it.
Yeah.
But if that metric is up or it's going up or whatever, then at least things seem to be trending in the right direction. That's really cool.
But to that point, you're right. It is a very high-level metric. You can see trends if it's going up or it's going down. But as soon as you start asking, why is it going up? Why is it going down? It's not going to give you the answers. And you have to go and look at more data and you have to go and do more research. And we think that's how it should work. These key R&D metrics that we pull out are really a starting point, but then we provide loads of other solutions to help you understand that data a bit more and why it might be going in a certain way.
That's really cool. I wanted to ask, with a bunch of these metrics, how do you know when we're good enough? Like, it seems like no matter what the metric is, you can always be better, but there's some level of diminishing returns at some point.
Yeah, totally. There are a couple answers, I guess, here. So how do we know when we are good enough? I think, firstly, it's really great that we have multiple quarters and the long history of tracking some of these metrics, because we know what they look like over time. And that often is our starting point. If our self-reported productivity metric is a certain value and it's been near that for a while, that's probably where we want to at least keep it. And maybe we'll set ourselves some targets to go higher. But that's a starting point for baseline for us. Another thing that we do is benchmark with our peers. And this is something that it can be tricky at times. We don't all measure things the same way. But where there are opportunities for us to line up, then we do that. And again, we share our engineering survey questions with a couple of peers, and we can just compare how are we doing versus them. But that started a lot of interesting conversations, because sometimes you see big gaps. The last thing I'll say is it's totally true that you have diminishing returns at times. And so often, especially for our key metrics, we will set guardrails and say, hey, you want to be around this, but we won't say that you need to get much higher. So deployment frequency is a great example of this. Okay, you're deploying 3 times per day. How much better is it for you to deploy 4, 5, 6 times per day? Probably not much. But actually, if you're deploying 1 time per month, then it's that sort of thing. Once you hit a certain level, leave it. It's fine.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the benchmarking ourselves against other companies in the industry. How do we do that? I mean, do we have some alignment on metrics between them? Does it have to fall back to DORA and space type standards? Like, how does all of that work?
We do benchmarking with other companies in a few different ways. Sometimes it's like a one-off, hey, let's get together and talk about a few dimensions of like platform and just write a report where we talk a bit about the differences and kind of how we do things. And so it's not benchmarking per se, and like you can just look at X number and compare if you're one or the other, but instead just see where you fall just from like anecdotal conversations. But probably the more interesting part is we do try and line up with some peers on our engineering satisfaction survey. So we run a survey once a quarter, and this survey, those questions are shared completely with peer companies. And occasionally we just match the data up, and you can, so long as we're asking the exact same questions to our engineering community, we can just compare what those numbers look like. Some companies do a great job of sharing their internal practices externally. LinkedIn has open sourced their approach to measuring developer productivity. And so you can see how they are measuring all their different metrics. And so we can do benchmarking by saying, hey, we are similar enough here to share numbers. And fundamentally, all of this in many cases comes down to personal relationships that we have with these peer companies. One thing that we're trying to do and excited about with our Backstage initiative is that actually with more people using Backstage and using similar tooling, is that hopefully we can start to do benchmarking that way as well.
Tell me a little bit more about the engineering survey itself. You mentioned that a couple of times, so it sounds like a pretty critical thing that we have. How did that come together? Like, where did the idea for the survey as opposed to just the metrics you talked about come from? How did it grow into something, and how did it become this kind of core piece of benchmarking ourselves?
our engineering satisfaction survey is a really crucial part of our Platform Insights offer. So once a quarter, we ask a third of our engineers to fill out a pretty comprehensive survey that touches everything from super high-level metrics, like we've been talking about, how productive do you feel? How satisfied are you? How do you feel about your team's velocity? A couple of high-level metrics like this. We ask them all about the different tools that they're using and how satisfied they are with those tools, what tasks they're doing on a day-to-day basis, what is blocking them and getting in their way. It's a really comprehensive survey that includes a whole lot of multiple choice questions that allow us to have some quant data, but also a lot of free text options for them to share, for engineers to share with us what their experience is like. Honestly, it's a treasure trove of data and insights. Like, we think system data and observed data is also very important, but especially as a product manager, when you're trying to build platform products, our engineering satisfaction survey and the data that comes out of it is like basically the starting point for most of our strategic discussions within platform. We started the survey through a partnership that we had with Google. Google had been running their engineering satisfaction survey, I think, since 2018. And they were kind enough to, just through our relationship that we had with them, to share their internal survey with us. And we took a bet that was going to be a useful thing for us to do. Obviously, Spotify, like many companies, has its kind of existing employee surveys that it asks. But those employee surveys, they get the high-level questions around satisfaction, but they're not going to get into the details that are going to inform platform strategy and platform development. So we kept as many questions as we could aligned with the Google questions. And again, this has allowed us to do benchmarking with them. And yeah, it's still a really critical part of our strategy of how platform works within Spotify.
Do you have any interesting, I don't know, success stories or even, I don't know, failures or things that came out of that? Because you talked about how the survey is a really critical part of strategy. I'm trying to figure out how does that work and what's come out of that?
Most of the time, our engineering satisfaction survey is used as a starting point for us to understand how are we doing. And from that data, you will figure out, oh crap, we're not doing great here, or we could make some improvements there. We take their privacy and anonymity very seriously. And for that reason, we think that we get very honest and authentic responses, which is great because then we really know what's going on the ground and where we can make things better. Platform teams will have product managers who go through this data or team leads who go through this data, find opportunities for improvement, prioritize those opportunities, and then set goals to say, for example, hey, we want our NSAT satisfaction score to go up to this level by X date. And then they'll just measure that and see if it happens. So to use a practical example, I know a couple of years ago, we had a couple of quarters where one of the top blockers for our engineers was around documentation not being up to date or correct. We make this data accessible to everybody within platforms. So a lot of teams look at that and think, oh, I can do something about that. I have this idea, or here is something that might help here. And they prioritize these initiatives and developments. I think backstage search was one of those things that came out of that was, hey, how can we make backstage search better so that people can find documentation easier? And then it gets prioritized. And then we see improvements in it over time. So now, because of that, we actually don't have one of the top blockers is not documentation anymore. So we attribute that to people tackling it as a result of the NSHAT survey and it being visible as a problem.
That sounds really good. Because one of the other things I was going to ask around this was we have all these metrics to tell us things, but also platform engineering is like a hot enough topic that there are industry best practices and a lot of thoughts of like where this should go generally. So I was trying to place my finger on how do we decide where, like, we're not doing the things the industry is talking about versus some metric or some survey is different? Like, how do we square all of that? I think documentation is a really interesting one because I don't feel like there's a lot of industry push towards documentation.
Yeah.
But your example made it pretty clear that no matter who else is doing it, we need to do it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So one of the benefits of having so much data and metrics around what's happening within platform is that we can check our instincts or we can make decisions not just on the basis of what we're hearing anecdotally or what we're reading online, and instead actually make decisions based on what we know is happening on the ground. I remember joining Spotify and just being wowed by how much information we had about what was happening within platform, because where I was working previously, and I thought we had a pretty great platform engineering team, but it was certainly the case that as a product manager, I never had the data that I wanted or needed to feel comfortable making a lot of decisions about what we should be working on and what we should be prioritizing. So that was something I was very excited about coming here, was just the amount of data that I could look at to inform my decision-making within platform. I think it's pretty unique, actually, to our business, which is great.
When you started talking about that, when I asked you your story of joining, I was going to ask if it had been everything you hoped for and more, but I was concerned your answer wouldn't be what you just said, so I didn't ask.
Well, you know, I think it's also one of the reasons these podcasts are great as well, is you just hear not only like, okay, yes, Spotify has loads of data about what's happening in platform, but we also have a lot of the same struggles and challenges that pretty much most platform teams are working on as well. So just kind of validates that some problems can be solved and are solved, but equally, yeah, we're all in the same boat trying to figure out how best to do things.
Yep. I'm curious about some of the other metrics. Like, I think with, I don't know, deployment frequency, it's probably not that hard to collect that from whatever system does the deploying. And with the survey or with something like the satisfaction things, I assume that gets sent out to employees somehow, I don't know, Slack, email, something, and they answer it. But there are probably a bunch of other metrics that are a little bit harder to collect. Are there interesting things that you guys have to do to collect metrics? And then on top of that, to kind of aggregate them and anonymize them and all of that?
Yes. I can talk about something that we're working on right now, which is trying to better instrument our local development experience. A lot of stuff happens in the command line that engineers are doing or happens in their IDEs. And we have some data about it, but we'd like to have more. If you take a step back, as best we can, we want to understand the whole life cycle of any change. So there are a lot of places that we can make improvements there, but we're trying to get better collecting what's happening on a developer's laptop. That introduces a lot of challenges. I know one that we're facing right now is we've rolled out some instrumentation to collect what's going on in different CLI tools, but very often we have data gaps, and that's because sometimes people are working offline or VPN is not working, and that's a hurdle that we have to overcome when we're collecting this data, is we're trying to work within the constraints of the world. Where this comes from is we have a lead time metric. How long is it taking a change to get into our users' hands? We have a metric for that, but we want to break it down. So it's kind of a crude, hey, a change started here and it took this long to get into production into our users' hands. But what was going on between that? What commits were made and when did those happen and how long did it take for that change to get a review and all these different things. I think another piece that we're really thinking a lot about is like, how do we maintain the trust of our developers as we are continuing to instrument their machines, right? We are not trying to be a big brother tracking everything that people are doing, but actually we're trying to make engineers' lives better and hopefully make it a better experience. But we need to make sure that we're very clear in our communications with people about, you know, what it is that we're collecting, why we're collecting it. We give people the option to opt out from these sorts of things. We hope that they don't in enough numbers that we can still get good data. But these are all the sorts of things that we think about. We need to also caveat and make sure that people understand where that data is coming from, where there might be gaps and where there might be issues. So it's all very involved. It's like you say, we can very quickly pull out a deployment frequency number, but giving the context around it and turning it into something usable takes a lot of effort.
Is all of the local development environment stuff very new, or have we already made some progress and gotten some great insights out of that, kind of proven that it's going to be a fruitful endeavor?
Within Spotify, it's pretty new. We've been working on it for the last couple of quarters and testing things out, but we have a lot of confidence that it's a good approach. We know that there are a lot of papers that are written on this. Google have some really great instrumentation and papers that they've written about their local development instrumentation, which is called In Session. They have been able to use that instrumentation to better understand what development is like at Google. So our expectation is that we'll be able to do that within Spotify as well.
So it's super promising. And we have examples from other companies, I don't know, other very relevant players in this space, but
right.
We don't know for ourselves for sure. That makes sense.
That's right.
So then maybe to bring this closer to something that is more Spotify specific, you mentioned Backstage very early on. I imagine that Backstage has a drastic impact on a lot of these metrics, but also is a really interesting place to collect metrics from, or even maybe is the answer to some of these issues you found in the metrics. Can you just talk a little bit about the relationship that your team has with Backstage and how you get a feel for, like, we're doing the right things with Backstage versus, I don't know, versus we're doing the wrong things with Backstage, things like that?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Backstage is a huge enabler of productivity within Spotify. That's the whole premise, right? Is there's a ton of complexity for engineers, and Backstage reduces that complexity, makes it easier for them to do their jobs.
And your team can prove it.
And exactly. We have data that we can look at that actually shows that. So we know that people who use backstage frequently have faster development cycles. We know that they create more code changes. We know they deploy more often. Their code is deployed for longer. And we also know that they're more likely to stick around at Spotify if they're frequent users. So, but the other part of this is like, because everyone's using Backstage, we have a great foundational layer of data to work with. From my team's perspective, in the same way that engineers have so many tools that they have to flip between, that means that we have so many tools to collect data from and to draw insights from. So it's like a similar mess for all of our insights practitioners internally. So Backstage, I think, goes a long way to giving us a really good foundation for that data. Because everybody's on Backstage, there's a uniformity of development practices, right? For the most part, we know what tools people are using because they're using our golden paths that are in Backstage, or all of our software is cataloged in Backstage. It's all done in the same way. So we have this great foundational layer to be working from.
Well, Kyle, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for spending this time with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been good to be here.
What else do you nerd out about?
I've gotten into triathlons recently. That's not a nerdy thing, though, is it?
It is 100% a thing people can get extremely nerdy about. Bought any good singlets lately?
Yeah, I got a lot of nice Lycra that's been delivered.
Exactly. You can nerd out about that for hours.
Yeah, I've done the typical thing that people do at my age, which is get into some sort of endurance sport. There's a lot of great YouTube content that you can watch, which I've been enjoying, and lots of stuff that I've been buying. Not going very fast, but enjoying it.
It's the important part. As long as you're getting awesome gear and enjoying it, the rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to register for the Backstage Roadmap webinar on April 30th to learn more about how we measure developer productivity at Spotify. To register, just go to backstage.spotify.com and click the banner. Nerd Out at Spotify is produced by Spotify's Ted Vergakis and by C-Plane Armada, who also wrote our productivity-boosting theme song. I'm Dave Zolotowski. Thanks for nerding out with us.